This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the mid-morning mic check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour breaking news center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
We're getting some of these rainfall totals. We told you we'd have these earlier, and now the numbers are coming in. As Danny said, the bullseye was Carrollton Farmers Branch. They got over 5 inches of rain this morning. It fell in 2 hours. It fell.
Yeah, it came, like I said, it came down hard and for a long period of time.
The hardest rain falling right now, that's up in Durant, Oklahoma. So if you're thinking of
Choctaw,
going up to Choctaw, doing a little gambling, you might want to think twice.
Stay in if you're there.
Power outages got about 40,000 homes and businesses without power across the state, although the vast majority of those are right here in North Texas. And it's going to take a while for things to unwind at the airport, too. 547 delays so far today at DFW and 357 cancellations.
God.
Right in the middle of the World Cup, too, with people coming in and flying out. That's going to be a mess. Love Field is just as bad. So be aware of that if you are
just
catching
amazing
a
what
today.
Some rain can do, man. It can just mess everything up for a bit.
And we may have more to come. There's a lot off to our southwest, and we're going to watch that for you. 945-766-1080, that's the number. As we continue with the mid-morning mic check on this Friday morning, and since we are in the middle of the World Cup, we thought it'd be interesting to ask you about your favorite World Cup or Olympic athlete. We're going to expand it to include the Olympics, too. Your favorite, someone who has represented America in an international competition. Who would it be? The first caller we got, first text, said gold medal winning wrestler Kurt Angle.
That's right. He did win a gold medal, and he actually broke part of his neck before the competition, wrestled anyway, and won a gold medal.
Also WWE.
Yeah, and he's a WWE All
Pro wrestler, too, yeah. Kurt Angle. He got that gold medal in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one. We had another listener that says a tie between Jesse Owens and Ralph Metcalf. And, boy, there's a lot of others, too.
Metcalf. I don't know much about him. Who is this?
Ralph Metcalf.
Do you remember him at all? Had you heard of him?
I've heard the name. Ralph Metcalf. I know he was tracky at track and field. He was a sprinter.
Okay.
He ran in 1932.
All right. So Jesse Owens.
At L.A. And then Jesse Owens Ralph was Metcalf. 4 years later.
So, okay, this guy's going way back.
He ran
from the 214.
He ran against Jesse Owens,
okay,
in 36. But there's some others too.
Think about all the sprinters.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Simone Biles.
Michael Johnson. Remember, he was a guy. They actually
Michael
thought about
Johnson.
Putting him in the NFL.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
Right. And we mentioned Jesse Owens, Mark Spitz. Right. There's so many of them.
And would you go and then think about Olympics? Oh, the Winter Olympics as well. I don't want to forget about any of those hockey players from the 1980 team.
Just a collective one, the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team.
Yeah, you could just say all of those guys.
That's got to put.
And then what about, for me, honestly, as a kid, and again, I was at a very formidable age, the 92 Dream Team with Michael Jordan. Nobody was touching us in that thing, but it was just awesome to see how badass we were on that court.
Probably
the greatest team you could say ever assembled.
Not quite as dominant now.
But no.
Well, back in 92, you're right. Nobody
could touch us.
As the World Cup continues here in the U.S., this is kind of disturbing. ISIS has developed a sudden interest in soccer.
Yeah.
They're calling for, quote, lone jihadists to carry out attacks in various U.S. cities. They're calling the World Cup a pagan occasion held in the heart of Crusader America and its sisters.
Okay, so
I don't know what that means.
These terrorists are saying, hey, we don't want to do it, but somebody, go out there and do it for
exactly.
us. Blow yourself up.
They're calling the World Cup, again, quoting, a golden opportunity to launch attacks in a target-rich environment.
Was this Top Gun?
not wrong about that target-rich
part.
Right
about that.
Dr. Charlotte Littlewood is an expert in religious extremism and says she's not surprised.
Football has always been a target of ISIS. We saw adverts saying kill them all for the European Championships last year. And there's been targets against Ronaldo and Messi as well, images of them with blood on their faces, really quite graphic images, for the World Cup in 2018. So this is definitely a playbook, and something that security services have to be very concerned about and very prepared for. And they are, and they're very aware that ISIS targets big crowds. And it does that for a very clear reason. It wants to create a hostile environment where governments respond to these attacks in kind, creating the kind of end of days conflict they want to happen. And through that, creating that division, which is great for radicalization and great for their prophetic end of days notion.
Yeah, but they still need recruits to carry out these attacks. Yeah. God forbid they'd get out there and do it themselves.
Yeah.
And that's where social media comes in. However,
they don't just use Instagram. They're also been using gaming platforms and encrypted platforms as well, using things like Telegram. So sometimes they bring people in more gently and then have private conversations with them. So you see that especially with the gaming platforms. They will purposely seek out platforms that are quite violent and targeted at young men, and use that space to be able to directly communicate with people. So they do have a very clever strategy to get in contact with vulnerable people without being noticed as well.
That's right. You just set up an account on, you know, play some guy who's playing Halo or something.
Yeah, Halo, and just say, you ever thought about attacking the World Cup?
Yeah, you want to do this for real?
Yeah.
But Littlewood says that just because ISIS wants to attack the World Cup, it doesn't mean they'll be able to. She says security is tighter for this event than it has been for any soccer tournament in history.
And we've been detailing that almost for 2 months prior to this thing coming in. And this is why they do it, though, for stuff like this.
World Cup, meanwhile, on the pitch this afternoon, Team USA takes on Australia in Seattle in match number 2 for both countries. Both with impressive debut wins, the U.S. whipping up on Paraguay, Australia beating Turkey. Mike Grella, he is a former soccer player and CBS sports analyst, who angered, he got Australian Mads mad at him by calling their team Ass-tralia. They call themselves the Socceroos. We mentioned that earlier, but he called them Australia. Yeah. Boy, he's been getting an earful about that. He is not backing down, though.
They caused an upset against Turkey. They had 20% possession of the ball, which is not much. They conceded 30 shots, which is a ridiculous amount, but they went on to win. I was going to come on here originally and say some nice stuff about them, but now the fan base has gone a little too far, and you know, started this conversation. It was birthed about the football, and the messages I'm getting from the Australia fan base is about the country, about us as a country, about the U.S., and about how it sucks in all these different categories. So, you know, really, it's been unbelievable. They wear a yellow shirt. I think that maybe they're getting themselves confused with Brazil or another team that's won something in the past. They've never won anything. I know I look up what Australians are good at. I see cricket. I see rugby, maybe the Outback. I mean, I'm sure they got some wild safaris out there.
Break dance.
But on Friday, I think they're going to come into a team that it's a little bit more their time, that has a little bit more quality, like I've said before. And I think that we'll see a U.S. win.
Yeah.
Did you catch that break dance reference?
Yeah, that woman with the worst break dance in the world.
Bottom line here, take a seat, blokes.
I've played with Australian guys in the past. There's been some legends of the game that are Australian. I love Australians. I don't think I've ever met a soft Australian. They're tough, right? They've got a game that's called Aussie Rules that is incredibly physical. But I'll tell you one thing: they are. It's insecure. It's insecure about football, and it's insecure about Friday night, because I think they're in for a rude awakening. I think there's going to be a massive reality check.
Yeah, okay. I love it.
Now, remember, we said that about Cape Verde against Spain. We said that about the Congo going up against Portugal.
I don't want to get too cocky, but I did hear at the beginning of this tournament that Australia was out of our grouping was the easiest country, that you would probably get a win there. I heard Paraguay was going to be the the tough one, and we beat them really without Christian Pulisic.
Turkey's pretty good, though, but now they've lost.
Now they've lost.
Lost their first match. And I think if the U.S. wins this one,
it'll be the first time we won two games back-to-back since, like, the 1930s.
It's been a minute. When we come back, 2 o'clock, by the way, in Seattle, that kicks off.
Let's go.
Next up, a land grab along the border, and the locals are pushing back. They're not happy about it. The Mid-Morning Mic Check continues on KRLD after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Your all-time favorite American World Cup or Olympic athletes.
Yeah, we've gotten a few names that I had to look up.
They've got some good ones. Michael Phelps, I knew we'd get a vote for him.
Oh, yeah, great.
And Eric Heiden.
Speed skater.
Yeah, one of the greatest of all time. Right. 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid.
Yeah, two guys voted for him. In fact, one just texted me. He says he's from Wisconsin. He said he's Wisconsin's own. Said he won 5 golds that year in 1980, but was kind of overshadowed by the other thing, Miracle on Ice.
Right. And I remembered one. I always loved this guy. It was his name was Dave Waddle.
Okay.
He was a long-distance runner. His 1972 Olympics.
His name was Waddle?
W-O-T-T-L-E. 1972 in Munich. He was the 800 meters. So he gets out there, and in the final, he immediately fell behind. He was dead last. A long ways back, and at about 500 meters, he started.
Enough of this crap.
Kicked it into gear, and he just was passing one guy after another.
Yeah,
after another. He wore a golf cap when he ran. That was the other thing about him. And he won the race. He came all the way back from dead last. He won the race. They gave him. He had a nickname afterwards. They called him Waddle the Throttle.
Well, yeah. God, if he could turn it on like that,
he turned it on. I love that. So I'd put him on the list too. 945-766-1080 as we continue with the Mid-Morning Mic Check here on KRLD. A lawsuit filed against the government by hundreds of people in far west Texas who own land along the southern border. They are pushing back on plans that could take their land under eminent domain laws to build more of the border wall through one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
Well, I think it comes down to essentially they feel like they have nothing else to do. This is their last-ditch effort. Their backs are against the wall. This is a battle families say that they have been fighting for generations, only this time who is potentially taking their land. It's different, and hundreds of these residents out in Presidio County say that they fear they could lose part of the land that's been in their families for decades. So roughly 400 landowners in the Big Bend region received letters from U.S. Customs and Border Protection requesting access to their properties for potential border infrastructure projects. Now, according to reporting from the Texas Tribune, those letters say if access is not granted, the government could pursue eminent domain, which is the legal process allowing, you know, private properties to be taken for public use with compensation. Now, the Trump administration, they've described this area as a high illegal entry corridor where migrants and drug smugglers continue to cross the border into the United States. Federal officials say the project is part of the broader efforts to really expand border security infrastructure. But here's the thing. This isn't about money for these families, for these ranchers and these landowners. It's about preserving family history, protecting property where families have lived, farmed, and ranched really for generations. So on one hand, residents say, yes, they absolutely support the border security, but never expected their own land to get caught up right in the middle. Also worth noting, out of the 25 Texas counties that sit on the U.S.-Mexico border with Presidio County, is only one of two that did not vote for Trump back in 2024. So as the Trump administration pushes for more border infrastructure and additional border wall, the concern grows for these families along the U.S.-Mexico border. With that said, they're planning for a lengthy battle in court.
It is. I hope they save their money up.
Oh, yeah.
News Nation's Xavier Walton.
You know how these things, they're going to drag that thing out forever.
Yep.
And then something's going to get done.
Speaking of the border, you know, it's pretty close to being shut down at this point, but the cartels, unfortunately, are adapting, and they're just using different tactics to get their products into the U.S., be it drugs, guns, or humans. News Nation's Ali Bradley spoke with Border Patrol Lieutenant Chris Olivares about their efforts to stay one step ahead of the cartels.
This is part of our joint operation with Border Patrol, anti-smuggling operation. So they had seen, or they had a group of 8 that was on one of our drones that was capturing them. So preventing them from loading up into a vehicle, agents and the troopers were able to move in, closing on the group. Of course, as you saw, we moved in, everybody just kind of scattered and run different directions. But now with all the resources that we have dedicated to border security, more agents in the field, more troopers working together, they closed them in and they were able to apprehend five.
So would you consider that a success?
It is.
Awesome.
Because you got to look at it this way. I mean, those are potential gotaways. So we just know even one gotaway is critical to border security, national security, because you don't know exactly who that person is, why they're coming across, why they're trying to, you know, go undetected. So when you're able to apprehend five, and of course working together, really shows the critical work that's so important with our border mission as we keep ongoing with Operation Lone Star, part of the governor's initiative, and why it's so important now working with our federal partners.
So when you hear the president say zero people are crossing, but you just had eight people cross, what's your response to that?
Well, it's an example, right, that there's still people still trying to cross the border illegally. Cartels are always going to change their tactics. They're always going to adapt to what we're doing. And I think you saw that today. Of course, we've seen that in previous events, especially when it pertains to commercial vehicles, where you have 20 in a commercial truck, most recently 39. I think right there does show that there's still people crossing the border. Cartels are still using those tactics to get them across. But again, that's why it's so important now that all these resources, state and federal, working together, we're able to disrupt and stop some of that criminal activity.
Well, he sounded winded.
Yeah, I know. Is he chasing those eight people himself?
He may have been.
God, I just got to sprint it over and had to tackle some dude.
But that's the thing. They adapt, and then you've got to adapt. And then it's like any criminal enterprise.
They're doing a lot better, but it's not completely shut.
No.
They've got a few cracks.
Favorite Olympians, American Olympians, or World Cup athletes at 945-766-1080. A couple more quick before the break. Scott Hamilton.
Okay.
Figure skater.
84.
At Jim Thorpe.
How could you forget that guy?
Can't forget him. And Al Orter. We had to look this. I know the name, but we had to look it up.
Yeah.
His specialty was the discus. He won the discus.
And he was dominant.
Four straight Olympics. He won the discus throw, 56, 60, 64, and 68.
That's incredible. I don't know if that'll ever happen again of any athlete doing
pretty
anything.
Amazing. All right, when we come back, one of the world's oldest and most historic trees has finally gone to that big forest in the sky.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Mid-Morning Mic Check continues here on KRLD. Mike Rogers, Austin, New York with you. Actor Faison Love is in trouble again. Now, if that name isn't familiar, some of his roles probably are. Most memorable of those was as the department store manager in Elf.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Faison Love, he's 58. Taken into custody earlier this week in Tampa on contempt of court charges stemming from unpaid child support. A lot of unpaid child support. $250,000 worth.
Oh, God.
Which he says he can't pay. Love says he made no money last year and that his highest gross income in the past 5 years was just $13,000. Now, that may be due to the reputation he's developed because of some of his previous run-ins with the law.
Uh-oh.
He got arrested once in California on domestic violence charges, once in Ohio for getting in a fight with an airport valet.
Got a temper, doesn't he?
And in addition to this case in Florida, he is also facing charges for throwing a credit card reader at a store clerk in San Diego. Anger issues.
Oh, yeah.
His biggest sin, though, at least to the big shots in Hollywood, he once sued Universal for removing the pictures of the two black cast members, and he was one of them, from the poster for the Vince Vaughn movie, Couples Retreat.
If Vince Vaughn would have been left off the poster, somebody would be like, mother, where's Vince? But the only two d's on the poster are left off. And if you look at the poster, we're way in the back, as if they knew we can just take these people off and nobody's ever going to know.
Well, now maybe he's right about that, maybe not. But when you haul a major studio into court over it, it's probably going to hurt your chances of getting a lot of work.
Vince Vaughn, I remember that movie. Vince Vaughn is the star of the movie. You can't take Vince Vaughn off the poster. He's the star.
He's front and center.
Yeah.
Faison was in the back, and then he eventually just disappeared. One of the world's most famous trees has died. Legend has it that the major oak, which is located right in the middle of Sherwood Forest.
Okay, is this the Robin Hood?
Yes.
Okay.
And there really is a Sherwood Forest. This tree, according to legend, it sheltered Robin Hood and his band of merry men back in the 12th century. Some say it's where Robin Hood was buried. The tree's more than 1,000 years old, with a trunk circumference of more than 35 wow. feet. But nothing lives forever.
This spring is the first time on record that it's failed to put any leaves out at all. In recent years, it struggled anyway, and it's seen visible declines in the leaf coverage. And it's always been slightly later than some of our other oaks. So we always held out a little bit of hope as we went through May and into June. But there have been no signs of live buds, which sadly does kind of confirm all of our scientific findings that it's come to the end of its living era.
Chloe Ryder is a naturalist in Sherwood Forest. And the experts are blaming it on several hot summers in recent years and too many tourists tromping around the base of the tree.
That's pressed down the soil, and that's meant that it's not only damaged the roots, but it's damaged the soil and it's damaged the biology in the soil, meaning that the tree hasn't been able to take up those minerals, the nutrients, and the water from the soil.
And now the major oak is dead.
I feel a little bit upset because it's quite famous. And it's nice to look at as well.
Robin Hood used to hide out in it, and I just don't feel good about it dying.
Oh, yeah, if it saved Robin Hood's butt.
It's trees right outside the town of Nottingham.
That's right. Who was the other? Friar Tuck
and Little John.
That's
and
right.
Maid okay. Marian.
Yeah, I remember.
They all hung out around this tree. Now, they say that over the coming years, the branches are going to fall off now, leaving a majestic stump, and then after a couple of hundred years, even that will be gone. However, in anticipation of this, they have cut off some small branches in recent years, and those have now grown into oak saplings.
Good.
So its legacy will live on.
That's right.
Coming up on KRLT, we'll wrap things up for the week. What do you get when you combine a toilet with a Roomba? You're about to find out. Isn't technology wonderful?
This is the dumbest invention ever, but go ahead.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
You know, we're talking about the greatest American Olympic or World Cup athletes we've forgotten. Probably the most obvious one. How about Muhammad Ali?
Absolutely.
1960. Well, he was Cassius Clay then.
Yeah, that's when everyone first started getting a glimpse of just how good this guy could be.
Yep. You know, for decades now, ever since the invention of indoor plumbing, really, going to the bathroom has become a part of our everyday life and language. Because
I just did.
That's exactly what it. Well, thanks for sharing.
Okay.
It's exactly what it is, though. We are going to the bathroom. What if the bathroom came to us, though? Thanks to our old friend artificial intelligence, now it can. A company in China has invented an AI-powered autonomous robotic toilet.
This is so ridiculous.
It's designed for people with disabilities or for anyone who's just too lazy to get up off their ass and walk to the bathroom. Them too.
All right. Disabilities, I can understand.
Think of it as a combination toilet Roomba with a little voice recognition software thrown in. You call it by name, and you can name it anything you want, and it rolls directly to you. Dodging obstacles in its way, you take care of your business, and then this portable commode goes back to its docking station where it connects to your existing plumbing and dumps its loads.
All right.
Now, we have many questions, not the least of which is, what if you have to go number two? Well, in that case, I guess you're going to need to stash rolls of toilet paper around the house.
I would never say, all right, heck, keep going. I'm just going to, hey, toilet, get over here real quick. During the show?
Right.
Are you kidding me? Just get up and go somewhere.
And what are you going to wash your hands afterwards?
No.
They need to design a robotic sink for that, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. How much is this going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I bet you they sell like five of these things, if that.
But it'd be really sad if they sold any more than that.
Yeah.
Today's June 19th. We go back to 1999, the night the Dallas Stars won their first and still only Stanley Cup. Here's the seldom-heard hometown radio call with Ralph and Razor.
And center to pass, Lettinen, shot, tip, save! drive, rebound, still loose hole.
They score!
That's it! Yes! 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 The Stars win the Stanley Cup! The Stars win the Stanley Cup!
I remember that well.
It's been a while. I was not here then.
27 years ago tonight. Birthdays today. Jacob deGrom, he's 38. Zoe Saldana has a birthday. Dirk Nowitzki has a birthday. He's 48 today. Also, Paula Abdul, Kathleen Turner, Ann Wilson, one half of Heart, and Wahoo McDaniel. He would be 88 today.
You had a run-in with him.
He's
didn't
about
you?
To get into a throwdown with Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yo, you got enough nerve to call me old news. You got enough nerve to say I'm a disgrace to wrestling. Woo. Well, let me tell you something. I've wrestled a lot of people you couldn't even stay in the ring with, Ric Flair.
There you go.
Yeah, Wahoo.
Chief Wahoo McDaniel. He'd be 88 today. That's it for us. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and the Mid-Morning Mic Check here on KRLD.
Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Absolutely. Happy Father's Day. We'll see you Monday.